Welcome everyone to pre-Shabbat inspiration and meditation. Today is the 23rd of the month of Shvat, the 21st of February. And here we are again on Friday before Shabbat. It's been a hard week for the Jewish people. We witnessed the lowest of human behavior yesterday. The return of four hostages that are no longer alive, but done in the most depraved way with parades and celebrations from the enemy. Just really, really, really bad. People are broken. People in Israel are angry. And that's all legitimate and all normal and all to be expected. But of course, we remember, as we go through these emotions, we remember, of course, that as Jews, we don't break. We just never break. We continue with strength. We continue with faith. And talking on a Friday, preparing for Shabbat, this is, of course, so relevant because Shabbat is the day that we take koach, we take strength. That we have this famous idea, we have three patriarchs. The third one was Yaakov, Jacob. Jacob had two names, Yaakov and Yisrael. When he fought with the angel represented the angel of Esau, the angel of the enemy. He was given the name Yisrael, which means Sarkel, an officer of God, a prominence. Also, Sarita Imelokim, that he was able to fight with an angel and prevail and become victorious. And our commentaries tell us that Yaakov and Israel represent two experiences of the Jew. Yaakov means the heel, Israel means prominence, officer of God, and so on. And one of the ways it expresses itself is that the weekday is a time of challenge, it's a time of struggle, it's a time when we go through that concept of being a Yaakov, the heel. But Shabbat is Yisrael. Shabbat is the time of Yisrael. Shabbat is the officer of God, and it's the time of strength, the time of inspiration, and the time where we take a lot of koach. So let's hope the Shabbat will bring a an amazing amount of strength and happiness and inspiration. We're expecting six alive hostages to come back on Shabbat. So that's a bit of hope and a bit of glimmer of light and so on. And just sort of focus on the good and focus on the strength and focus on the inspiration, notwithstanding the darkness and the pain. I even within the darkness, there's so much inspiration sometimes. I just saw a little story yesterday of one of the daughters of the man hostages, Keith Siegel's daughter, her name is Shir or Shira Siegel, I'm not sure exactly. And she was interviewed and she told the following story. She said that her father was in captivity, Hamas, and he got amazing strength by connecting in the most darkest of circumstances with his emunah, with his faith. And he started in captivity. He was a secular Jew, didn't have a background, is originally American, really wasn't engaged much with his Jewishness, but of course, every Jew has a soul. And he, in captivity, actually started making brachot. He started making blessings to say little prayers, and to use her words, he started saying borei minei mezonot, the blessing on when you eat something made out of flour, and he never did that before. He started saying Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and never done that before. And then when he came out, obviously there was tremendous joy. He came out a few weeks ago, I think, and the family asked him for the first Friday night meal, like, what do you want? Like, what's special? Maybe you want a special food, a special dish. What would you want? The family's going to get together. What do you want? And he said he doesn't want anything. He just wants one thing. He wants a kippah and a cup for Kiddush. Just incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I think when we witness all that's going on and we sometimes feel down, we need to look to them. The people not who are observing the pain as we are, but the people who are going through the pain to see their hope and their positivity and their re-engagement and reconnection with their Jewishness and their Jewish soul. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's absolutely inspiring. And I think something we need to take that. And I said again, it's coming to reflect upon, especially coming to Shabbat, because we know the Talmud tells us that on Shabbat we have an extra soul, a neshama yetera, an extra soul. And that's just amazing. It's really a day of faith. It's a day of emunah, and it's a day to connect to the soul in a very, very deep way. I want to just draw some inspiration from the portion of the week, the parsha of the week. In the parasha of the week, we learn about lots of different laws. Last week, we learned about the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, and the whole lead up towards the Sinai event, the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. And the Torah does an interesting thing this week. Now, we have a principle that there's no necessarily, we don't have a chronological order to the Torah. Sometimes the Torah does things in different orders than they actually happened, because essentially the Torah is not a history book, it's a book of lessons. But there's always needs to be examined. Even when the Torah does things which are out of order, we need to know why. And this week we have a really strange one. After the whole lead up to the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, last week's parasha, and then all the laws that followed in this week's parasha, we suddenly go back to before Matan Torah and fill in the gaps. We apparently didn't learn the whole story last week. We learn about how the Jews prepared for the giving of the Torah, how they went and brought certain sacrifices, how they immersed in a mikveh, how they created this covenant between them and God. That's all comes this week's parasha, and it really boggles the mind, because why didn't the Torah, when the Torah told us the story of the lead up to the and the instructions given how to prepare for the giving of the Torah last week, why don't we just finish the story? Like, why does it break up the story and then come back to it? And the Lubavitcher Rebbe once gave a beautiful explanation. He says there are two parts to the Sinai revelation. There are two parts to the giving of the Torah. Part one is that God gives us a gift. He gives us an instruction. He gives us a moral code. And the moral code comes with lots of values and lots of instructions. And that's last week. But there's a second part to the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. And that's the relationship we have with God, the commitment, the covenant which we enter into. Not just something that we are passive and the recipient of a bunch of instructions and values which we choose to listen to. It's more than that. It's to enter into a relationship, enter into a covenant, a deep bond, an eternal, unbreakable bond with God, His Torah, and His mitzvot. And that's this week's parsha. Last week we learned about instructions. God instructs us to do various things to prepare. He appears on Mount Sinai. He gives us laws. He gives us 10 commandments. We have a whole bunch of more laws this week. And then the Torah says, okay, that's part one. Now let's go to part two of the giving of the Torah. Let's go back and see what they did before they got the Torah. They went into a covenant. They brought a sacrifice. They immersed in a mikveh. They entered into this deep bond between them and God. That's a whole new level of the relationship. And that has to happen too. So I think this is so much connected, because it really is about connecting strongly. And I think the time that we're in now, we need to take the lead from the people going through the pain. We need to take the lead from the people who are really going through this challenge in Israel, and see what they're doing. And what they're doing is they're actually taking this as a cue to strongly identify with who they really are, to connect with their neshama, with their soul, maybe to say an extra mitzvah. There's been this incredible awakening of people praying, of making challah bakes, of men putting on tefillin or tzitzit. Just absolutely incredible. I mean, we really look, we hope and pray that we have inspirational stories to tell without the price of such sacrifice that they're going through. But the reality is the reality, and we need to just look at how the resilience and the faith and the connection. Yes, they're broken. Yes, they're angry about what happened yesterday, of course. But nevertheless, this we have to look at the other side of how they are so deeply connected and so deeply awakened. And I think we need to follow that cue, each one in our own way. Each one has to sort of say to ourselves, we're going through this dark time in Jewish history, rise of anti-Semitism. There was a special summit this week in Sydney, all this kind of stuff. What am I doing to take another step to connect more inwards to my soul? I think as we come to Shabbat, it's time to pause, to meditate, to think about this concept that Shabbat is such a powerful day. And we're each going to connect to Shabbat the best way we can, but to remember that it's really a time of holiness. It's a time of deep faith. It's a time of going within, going deep within, and taking some inspiration and thinking to ourselves, how can I connect in a deeper way? That's the power of Shabbat. So this afternoon, Shabbat candles is 7:27. Although one can light earlier from about 6:22. And I want to take this opportunity to wish you a Shabbat Shalom. Bearing in mind also, of course, this Shabbat is a special Shabbat, Shabbat Mevorchim. It's a Shabbat which gives blessing to the next month. Let's hope the Shabbat is a turning point of only blessing and happiness and good news in the coming days. Have a wonderful day and a Shabbat Shalom.